Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Biggs time. Biggs with Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by S-Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. S-Wing.com. Along with Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network, I am Mark Grody. We collectively are in for Mully and Haw. What's going on, Big Z? How are you this morning?
Morning, Brad.
Morning, gang. What's going on today?
Man,
love the morning gang.
Yeah, we are a gang. There's no doubt about it. That is the formation that we are in today for sure. And Biggs, one of the things that we've been talking about this morning is some of the stuff that Jalen Johnson was talking about yesterday. And I don't know if I've heard your opinion about what Ryan Poles was saying on the Bears pregame show before the Seattle game in regards to what was or was not going on in camp, that they weren't prepared essentially to begin the season. And Jalen Johnson said, you know, that can't be, and maybe there should be some discipline and guys should be benched when they're not trying hard. What did you make about all of that and these issues and them admitting that some of these issues go back to training camp?
Well, I mean, I think the issues are not necessarily guys not putting forth effort. I just think that the biggest thing, and there's not one boogeyman here, okay? Like, you can't draw an X across one person's name and say, yep, that was the problem there. But they made a terrible error in hiring Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator, and I think that some of the things that they needed to really drill down on and be better at are potentially some things that they just sort of wound up working on and then moving on to the next thing before maybe they had gotten as proficient or as good or had achieved a mastery of whatever it was they were working on specifically at that time. And I know that probably sounds really broad and vague, but you saw them start the season offensively, and what you looked at on the field, that it was hard to tell if there was a plan or any type of plan. And that's a big part of it. When you look at some of the pre-snap penalties, they've got 26 false starts, which ranks I think that's fourth worst in the National Football League in terms of false starts. If it was one guy, that would be really easy to fix and identify, and hey, well, here's the problem. It's kind of across the board, and that goes back to one of the things you heard them talk about a lot in the spring and in the summer was cadence with Caleb Williams. And I'm not blaming Caleb, but if the cadence isn't where it needs to be, you need to keep working on it until it gets there. And I think when you've got a whole slew of false starts, certainly cadence is one of the things that's involved there. So that's just a small part of you know, it just they didn't have the right plan to get the quarterback going. The run game stunk. I don't know. I don't think effort has been a serious issue here or a real issue here. I just think it's been a collection of things that it when they drew it up on paper, it looked all right. And boy, it's been the opposite of that.
The cadence stuff is so interesting to me because we talked about that so much during training camp.
And it's come up during the season, too.
And then Thomas Brown brought it up on Monday.
Yes.
That it's still an issue. And it's just, it's baffling to me that there wasn't a system in place. And I know all the changes in coordinators and roles and all those things play a part in sort of the quote unquote dysfunction that I think we'll get to here in a second with you, Brad. But how do you... How does a new system, new coordinator, new head coach come in help that next season? Like, how does that help Caleb? Yeah.
I mean, that's real easy. You come in, you identify what you want to do, and you get to work on it, and you don't go from A to B until you feel really damn good about A.
Right.
You don't go from B to C until, you know what, we got B down, and so forth. And then... hopefully that process is smooth enough to at some point at the beginning of training camp, you kind of do a review of it all. Like, hey, we're just going to roll through this again just so we all make sure we're in a pretty good spot here. And that, you know, that didn't happen here. And again, that this isn't to put it all on Waldron. Okay. Like, cause that would,
right,
that just wouldn't be accurate. You know, forget being fair; it just wouldn't be accurate. You know, Eberflus, all of them, they all share in some of this because you know they feel like collectively they're better than four wins, and I think they probably are. But boy, you know, they haven't gone out and done it, and so. You are what your record says you are, and they're at the bottom, staring up a long ways at to the teams at the top, and what's been a fantastic division otherwise.
Yeah, and that always sparks the question for me, Brad. Has this just been a bad year, or is this a bad team? You know, and you mentioned the coaches. Always fair to bring up the coaches. Like when you don't have the right coaches in place, that's going to lead to bad things. So I guess the follow-up question is, and I know I've asked forms of this question before, but can we call it right now in terms of how much change has to be made, or should a lot of this come back next year? Because it seemed like a pretty good roster in a lot of ways with a lot of talented players, or was this just a crap season for a lot of individuals?
Well, you can only perform so much change here. They don't have a ton of players coming out of contract. Especially veteran guys, they've got a decent collection, maybe a little bit more than usual, of players that'll be restricted free agents. I'm talking about like a Josh Blackwell, Jack Sanborn, Jalen Jones. You know, they've got some guys that have played some solid roles for them. Haven't been frontline guys that you're going to have to take a look at and decide what you want to do. Unfortunately, they've got a lot of cap space, so whatever moves they want to make with those RFA types, it's really not going to be a problem. But yeah, you're going to see a lot of the guys back. I mean, a new coaching staff is going to dictate some level of change. They're going to, you know, you're going to come in and you're going to say, okay, you know, what's the profile for your new coaching staff at each position? What's that guy look like? Okay. I'm talking height, weight, other physical traits. And some of the guys the Bears have will probably fit or be pretty close to maybe what the new coaching staff seeks at some of those positions.
Do you think Keenan Allen? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Some of them won't.
Yeah.
I don't think you re-sign Keenan
Allen. No.
I mean, it depends what he wants,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he was making $22, $23 million this year. he had some availability issues earlier in the season. It's going to depend on his number, but if he wants, you know, anything close to anything in the high teens, even for 1 year, I don't know how you do that. They've got to focus on the lines, Mark. Yeah. They've got to focus on the lines. They've got to have a better running game, because that when they do that, that's going to make the quarterback better. You know, you can do an interesting little exercise. Look at the top 10 scoring offenses in the National Football League, and it's probably 7 of them are top 10 in rushing. And there's a handful of reasons why. You know, if you're scoring a bunch, you're winning games, you're able to run the ball later in the ball game. That's one of them. If you're scoring a bunch, you're probably balanced on offense, so you can do a little bit of everything. If you're scoring a bunch, you probably got a good offensive line, so you can do a bit of everything. So they've got to focus on the trenches. I don't know that Keenan would have a future here, but you know, since he got back on the field after that hiccup early in the season, he's been a lot more productive than I would have thought at the time. You know, when that plantar fasciitis was giving him problems, I looked at it, I said, oh boy, he's not going to be able to do anything for
Same.
Him.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be on the injury report a lot more this year, Brad. Yeah.
Yeah. And he got off the injury report, and he's gotten some volume in the passing game and been productive.
Going back to what you were saying about the coaching staff and kind of their description of what they want in a position or player, physical attributes, whatever it may be, isn't a big part of the interview process for the incoming head coach going through the Bears roster and saying, this is how I'm going to get the most out of this group. Like, that's a big part of his qualifications, because he's going to be dealing with this roster no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're going to want, I think both parties are going to have questions about that process, where the coach is going to look at it and say, hey, you know, I've watched, X number of games that you played on film. Like if they've got Brian Flores or Ben Johnson for an interview, like those guys would be doing a disservice to their club if they watched all 17 Bears games on film, right? There's just not enough time.
Right.
But hey, we prepared to play you guys twice this season, mm-hmm. and I watched these other couple games, and here's what I like about Darnell Wright or Kyler Gordon. You know, and you go mm-hmm. through different guys on the roster, but those coaches are probably going to have questions about him too. Like, what's the makeup of that guy? How would he fit?
Right.
So yeah, that's a back and forth that needs to take place, and a huge part of that conversation is going to be, you know, how does it all fit around Caleb Williams, and how do you bring out the best in him? How do you help Caleb Williams get to the next level? Because he's got to be greatly improved in year two.
Brad, I hope that the new head coach has a plan to get Cole Kmet more involved. I mean, we were talking about this earlier in the show, and obviously getting a ton of, you know, getting the good guy award and just the ultimate professional. But I need this new head coach to come in and say, here's how you guys failed to use Cole Kmet last year, and here's my plan to use him.
Yeah, it's just, it's unfortunate because Cole in general and the position, it's a friendly target for the quarterback. It's that guy that should give you some easy completions.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That are, you know, between 9 and 12 yards downfield on average, or thereabout. Kudos to Cole. He's operated with the patience of Job. this season, and he's been a stand-up guy. But that's, you know, that's one of the real mysteries, and I just don't think they got going with a cohesive plan, which goes back to Waldron. It goes back to Eberflus, and, you know, they went out and they got Gerald Everett, and you looked at it and you said, okay, well, they've got this pass catcher that they can kind of pair up with Cole, who can do a little bit of everything, right? You feel like he blocks well, and he's productive in the passing game, and, you know, nothing's happened for either of them. So that may be one of those mysteries that remains unsolved in Lake Forest for a while. But, yeah, the new guy, instead of figuring out or maybe pinpointing exactly where it went wrong for Komet this season, needs to figure out how to turn him into, you know, a productive guy who's going to catch 65, 70 balls a year. Heck, last year he was a valuable red zone target for Justin. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think 70 catches for 740 to 760 yards and half a dozen touchdowns. Like those are realistic numbers. We're not talking about video game numbers here or Travis Kelce type stats. Like this is just stuff Cole ought to be able to go out and do. And, you know, again, fortunately he's been a pro and he's also been, super durable still. He'll play, Sunday at Green Bay and keep his consecutive games played streak, going, which I know is something he takes, you know, a great measure of pride in.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think eventually we have to look at Caleb Williams for a lot of the responsibility for some of these things, for not getting the ball to Cole Komet, for some of these slow starts. And that also brings me, Brad, to one of the things that Caleb was really enthusiastic about yesterday. I'll just put it that way. And borderline, I don't know if angry is the right word, but defending his offensive line yesterday on all of the sacks this year, the 67 sacks, and Caleb Williams basically saying, you know, get off my guys' backs and taking some responsibility for those sacks. So how much responsibility do you think Caleb Williams has with some of the I don't know if dysfunction is the right word or whatever that has gone on with this offense this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a part of it. But you expect some of those growing pains with a rookie quarterback, and you just hoped that the Bears would be able to, you know, work through them. And it looked like they were early in the year when they're 4-2, when they're one play away from being 5-2, and it turned on them, and they couldn't get it back. But yeah, he's a leader. He's not, if he's got things to say about how guys have performed at other positions, he's gonna have those conversations privately and do it the right way. And so, and he has run into way more sacks than he should. Mm-hmm. He can defend the offensive line. They're still going to need to replace at least three of the starters. I think three is probably the number I would expect for next season, and be better there. It's protecting him. It's running the football. It's it's finding players for that position that are going to fit the vision of the play caller, of the offensive line coach. They everything's got to come together. They got some ingredients out of the cupboards for this season, and none of it really matched for the right recipe.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it, and in a lot of those cases. One other thing, too, that I thought was interesting, Brad, and I don't know if this was something that we should have assumed already based on the Detroit game on Thanksgiving Day, but Thomas Brown was up front yesterday in saying that he's in charge of the timeouts and that there's very little autonomy right now on the part of Caleb Williams, that he controls those things. Were you surprised to hear that from Thomas Brown, that Caleb can't just call a timeout if he wants?
I don't think most quarterbacks have that leeway. Like I think that's something the coaches for pretty much every team is in charge of, maybe with the rare exceptions of, you got the clock winding down, and you're not going to be able to get the playoff. But I think more times than not, you see that call actually coming from where the sideline than you do the quarterback. No, that's not a surprise to me. And they should be handling that on the sideline. And there are more than enough instances this season where they needed to be a little bit better with game management. We've seen some other teams in some high-profile situations have some clunky clock management. I'm not going to defend any of them. I am going to say when you're at the tavern or on the couch and you're watching the ball game, it is a heck of a lot easier to manage the clock and your beverage than it is to manage the clock, be dealing with everything that goes on the sideline, going from play to play and all that. Like, they've got a zillion things going on. I'm not defending any of the errors that have been made, not missed opportunities, but errors in clock management. I'm not defending that, but when literally all you've got going on is your beer and determining when they should bang a timeout, that's a heck of a lot that is easier.
Why are you so mad at the beer drinkers out there, Brad? You think people are drinking a little bit too much?
When you're multitasking between your beverage and banging a timeout and banging a timeout and about 30 other things at one time, it's a little bit more complicated.
Ruthie, you got to manage your beverage.
I think people underestimate the cooks in the kitchen in those situations and all the people that are trying to chime in.
They're drinking wine when they're in that kitchen.
No,
they're
drinking wine. I'm saying for the coach, the coach and the actual people that are making those decisions. I just think it's underestimated how many people want to chime in those situations. I know Thomas Brown and Chris Beatty have talked about streamlining that information, but clearly that's didn't really help them this past weekend. Anyway, Brad, I wanted to just also quickly ask you about, Thomas Brown getting a lot of questions about his future and, do you see him getting a look and by the Bears, a real serious consideration for this job at this point? Obviously he's handled a lot of this, unfortunately, a pretty unfortunate situation for him to be thrown into.
I would guess he'll receive an interview.
Mm-hmm.
What I call it a serious interview. If they're going to interview him, I hope it's a serious interview. Do I believe he has a serious chance at the job? No, I do not.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's almost customary for the interim guy to get an opportunity to sit down and interview for the job when it's complete, right? And I think that's an opportunity for Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles, and if George is in the room or whoever else, to maybe hear everything that Thomas has to say about what he experienced since he was hired, last January. Hey, here's what I saw in the building. If you want to know what I think about these issues, here it is. And he's a pretty direct guy. He's probably already shared some of that with them, but, I would imagine he gets an interview. I would hope that if they're going to do it, it's a real interview and all parties are listening and paying full attention. Do I think he's got a shot at it? No, I don't.
Brad, last thing real quick. Ruthie informed me of a report today that the Minnesota Vikings are reportedly listening to or will listen to offers for J.J. McCarthy.
I am not reporting that.
No. Well,
Adam Schefter, I think, alluded to the Vikings will listen to offers.
You surprised by that at all?
Well, they got to figure out what they want to do in terms of Sam Darnold, right, who they brought in on a one-year deal. And the guy's blown it up this year. He's been fantastic. If Darnold takes them to the NFC Championship game, or they somehow reach the Super Bowl? Are you really going to let him walk and turn over the keys to JJ? That's going to be interesting. Like, JJ's either going to leave or by trade, or Darnold's probably going to leave. Like, I think it's just it's challenging anyway to have them both back. And maybe you listen on JJ if you feel really good about Darnold. Like, hey, Sam's our guy for 5 years. We're comfortable paying Sam to be our guy and to stay in place. Then if you can get good value for McCarthy, when you consider this isn't a good draft for quarterbacks, maybe you see what's out there.
Yeah,
because
interesting.
They could probably use some draft capital. That's the one thing that they haven't done well there is they haven't drafted great, right? Like, you look at the past couple draft classes where you're like, geez, they're Kevin O'Connell's performing magic tricks here, but what's he getting from their draft picks? And you go through some of the lists and you're like, geez, this not a lot here. Maybe they could get something for JJ. That's interesting, and in the NFC North, worth keeping an eye on.
Biggsy, great stuff as always. See you out at the hall, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
Yep, that is Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk to Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. Coming up directly next, though, Ruthie, I have a birthday / anniversary that I would like to talk about.
Ooh, I love a birthday or an anniversary.
Yes, Ruthie.
Any excuse to celebrate anything.
Absolutely right, because we're all out of celebrations, folks. Get to work. Enough.
So depressing.
It is.
I was happy that the Christmas decorations were still up today. Like, you know, those things start to come down. Now it's like that's when I get real sad.
I know, but they start to look stale. Like the lights, even in the studio, even though they're on. They look sad to me. They look sad because they know they have to come down soon, and they're just trying to elude us. Ruthie, who is not reporting that.
I just wanted to clarify that. It's like, yeah, J.J. McCarthy called me.
Well,
Michigan connection.
I didn't want to just, oh, yeah, that's right. You've protected
Love
yourself.
JJ.
I just wanted to make sure I gave you proper credit before I answer that question, because I would not have thought of it if you hadn't brought it up to me off the air at one point in time. Mm. But we do need to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about that great celebration we are having today right here on The Score.